You're listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson, the podcast that tells you what it really takes to build a business and the simple steps to get you there. I'm determined to share with you the reality of easy, simple business marketing tips to make passive income so that you can start making money online. Hello, hello, and how are you all doing? I want to talk to you today about why your background does not have to determine your wealth. It's a funny old subject, and I know it's kind of like nothing to do with passive income, but it is. It feels like it isn't, but it really is, because it's one of those things that can stop you making money, especially if you are new to business, or even actually if you've been in business a few years. I used to think that your background definitely does stop you, like because of my own background. I used to have these excuses. I used to think that you used to see someone doing really well, like someone online, and go, oh, yeah, but it's all right for her because, and then I'd just make up some stuff that I didn't actually know. For instance, I'd say, it's all right for her because she comes from a middle class family. So her parents probably gave her money to start off with. Or it's all right for her. She's probably married to somebody who has a really good job in banking and earns lots of money. It's all right for her. She doesn't come from like the kind of poverty that I come from. And I used to really believe this stuff. And I didn't even know I believed it. This was all stuff like going on in my subconscious that I was telling myself without even really knowing. Because when I heard the words money mindset for the first time, I was a bit like, what's this all about? And then as soon as I started reading about it, it all made sense. And I realized some of these beliefs that I actually held on to and that I actually really did believe were stopping me from moving forward. My backstory. You may not know this, you may know this, but I grew up in council housing in Lincolnshire in the UK. And when you're in council housing, they pay, basically the council, the government pay for your housing. They pay for you to live there because you can't afford to if you're a low income family. And that was all great. Like when you're growing up, I think that when you're a kid, you don't really care about these things. You don't really know these things. So one of my best friends was more middle class than me and, you know, had a really nice house that they had bought themselves. And I used to go to her house and not think anything of it. Like I knew my house was kind of in an estate, but I didn't really notice any difference with that until when I was 11, I got a scholarship to the most prestigious private girls' school in my area. It was a boarding school, but I was going to be a day pupil. And I was all for this, like up for getting a good education, really happy that I'd got this scholarship. My parents wouldn't have to pay anything to go there, or all of the fees would be covered. Even things like, you know, they'd give me secondhand uniforms and I'd have free lunches and those kind of things. What I didn't realize is what that would mean for me when I started. So on the very first day, I went in with a girl who was from my primary school. And we were the only two people that were going to that school from my primary school. And so we stuck together like you do, even though we weren't really friends. We didn't really know each other. Her family was rich. Like I knew that they had paid to go to the school. I knew that she had a lot of money. I'd always known that, I think. And then on the first day, we sat together on this table. There's about 10 people and we sat on the same table. And she very quickly, you know, became popular and was in with that crowd of people. They'd talk about the holidays that they'd been on. They'd talk about the cars their parents had and this kind of thing. And I very quickly became different. I wasn't like everybody else there. I was the person in line with the ticket to get free lunches. I was the person with the secondhand uniform. I was the person that when they got picked up with their Bentleys, I got picked up in my, well, it was the back of a Honda motorbike from my dad, because my father was a single parent. And so he'd picked me up. And I very quickly started to become known as the poor kid. Like, they never call you poor, do they? They call you dirty and unwashed. And my middle name was Carmella. So they called me Smeller Carmella. And that just stuck. And, you know, maybe wasn't as groomed as some of the other people there because I didn't have a mother teaching me what to do at that time. So there I was, realizing that I didn't fit in there and that people didn't like me because I didn't have money. And this played a big part later on. And actually, one of the things that happened that made a massive difference in my life going forward, you know, people always tell you that trauma doesn't always come from the big things. It comes from sometimes just a sentence that someone says that when you're a kid stays with you. And that definitely happened to me, because I very clearly remember on about week three of being at this school, sitting in that table with my friend Gabrielle, who had come from primary school, the rich one, and everyone looking around the room. I was being bullied at this point, like already, people didn't like me already because I was poor. And Gabrielle said, "How the hell did you end up on our table? You can't sit at our table." And everybody was laughing, saying, "How the hell did you end up here?" Whereas this girl had been my friend in primary school when money didn't matter, and now it mattered. And that was such an ongoing thing for me during life, that I couldn't sit at people's tables. I felt like I didn't fit in anywhere and that no one wanted me at their table. And now I make my own table, and so that doesn't matter so much. It's not a big thing, but it was huge growing up, and it was huge even when I started in business. It didn't feel like I was allowed to pull up a chair because I wasn't like other people. And so because of that backstory, there were two things that came out which I started to realize I believed. One was, people from where I come from don't make a lot of money. And honestly, I don't know whether I'd call it a limiting belief, because it's true. People from where I come from, in the estates that I come from, don't make a lot of money. You know, no one came to London. No one, you know, started in an office job. My family certainly were carers. They were people that had manual labor jobs. They were that kind of worker. They were really hardworking too. Like, they definitely instilled a massive work ethic in me because they worked really hard. Often, like, my dad would have three or four jobs. So that was the first thing that I started to realize when I started my business that I believed. The second one was that rich people were bad people, because all of the bullying that I had throughout my whole life had been done by rich people because I was not rich. And therefore, I saw rich people as this divide, like rich people are bad people, poor people are good people, and that is just how it is. And so in my head, did I want to be rich? Even though I thought people from where I came from couldn't be rich anyway, did I really want to be rich? Because that would mean that I would be like them, and then my family wouldn't like me because I'd be those people. Like, I remember being on my estate when I was younger, and if somebody came past that was very obviously rich, let's say they were in a really nice car or they had a really nice handbag, they walked past our estate, the people that were with me, who I trusted, who were my friends and family, definitely wouldn't say, "Oh, look at that lovely lady in her Porsche." There would be expletives. They would be going, "Who does she think she is?" And so I was worried deep down, like in my subconscious, that my family might think that of me. And I didn't want that. And so I was self-sabotaging all the time to not become rich, because I didn't believe I could. And if you don't believe you can do something, you won't try to make it happen. You might think you're trying to make it happen, but this isn't like what I would call spiritual, or for those of you that are like spiritually minded, woo minded. It's not really like that for me. Money mindset for me isn't about just kind of believing it will happen and the thoughts become things kind of way. I just very clearly realized that if you don't believe something will happen, if I didn't believe I could make 100,000 out of a launch, or 1 million or 2 million, then I wasn't going to put the effort in to get there. I might think I was, but I wouldn't be doing all the things, because some of the things that you have to do in business are quite hard. Some of them you don't really want to do. So you're only going to do them if you really believe they're going to bring you a result. So if they're not going to, or if you don't think deep down they're going to, you're not going to do it. You're not going to give it your all. So I had to really turn those things on their head, so that my background didn't determine my wealth, because it easily could have done. And when we're talking about money mindset here, I want you to realize how many clients I've had that still have money mindset issues when they have had, you know, rich parents, when they've had all of that kind of stuff going on. Because, for instance, I had a client that said to me, she was a wedding planner and she could be really successful. Like, she was just on that edge of being really successful, but she kept stopping herself. She kept having all these limiting beliefs and stopping herself doing things. And I was like, why? Like, you know the strategy. Why aren't you doing what you need to do? And she said, "I don't know." And I said, "Are you sure it's not a money mindset issue?" And she said, "It can't be. My parents were really rich. You know, they both had businesses. So there's no, I don't believe that I can't do that. I believe I can make lots of money." And so I said, "Okay, let's try and delve deeper into this. What's the earliest memory of your childhood?" And her earliest memory, she couldn't think of one, because she said, and this was the exact phrase she used, Well, because they were rich, they were working all the time, and therefore my parents weren't really around much. I didn't really see them. That there opened up a money mindset issue. So when I started to really delve deeper, this amazing woman who had a three-year-old had actually equated being successful in my business, meaning I will have to give up time with my three-year-old. I will have to compromise by not seeing him as much anymore, which she didn't want to do. So she kept stopping herself. And she didn't even know she had this belief. Like it wasn't really conscious. It was only when we delved deeper that she said, well, yeah, I do believe that if I'm successful, I won't see him. And it doesn't have to be that way. It was just a belief that she had. So don't think that just because, you know, you didn't have certain issues, it won't affect you. Your background still can affect how much money you make. So what do we do about it? Because that's what it's about. And I think the reality is you have to come from a completely different energy. So three things that I did to really help my money mindset, and I saw a change almost immediately, like 2 or 3 weeks after starting to work on this kind of stuff, and even just being aware of it, my pattern started to change. And that's when I started to make, you know, the six figures, the multi-six figures, the seven figures, the multi-seven figures. But each time I got to a different level, I would have to do more money mindset work. So what worked for me to get to my first six-figure launch didn't work. Like it was having no effect on me trying to get to a multi-seven-figure launch. I had to do much deeper work because there was stuff that I truly believed about my childhood that meant I didn't think I was worthy. And because I grew up a Mormon, I thought that it was greedy to earn money, and especially that much money. That was like on a different level of what was acceptable in my head as not greedy. So, you know, even though I wasn't a Mormon now, those things stayed with me in my subconscious. So I had to do a lot of work. But the three first things I did just to get the process moving was I worked out what I did believe about money. Because often we don't stop to think what we really, truly believe about being rich. Like, do you believe you can even earn as much money as you're saying? Like, if you say you want a six-figure business or a seven-figure business, do you even believe you can do that? Do you believe it's something that you can do? Or do you believe that that's for other people? Because once you're aware of that, then you will start listening to what you're telling yourself and stop yourself, because you often aren't even aware of the voice in your head telling you these things. So the first thing to do is work out what you believe. The second thing to look at, and this is especially true if you believe that affirmations work, and they do work for lots of different people, is to look at what you can turn around so that you're thinking, you're giving yourself different thought patterns. So for instance, if you believe that, you know, you will never make money, people from where you come from don't make that kind of money, then you need to put something in its place. So instead of believing that, instead of thinking that, you need to write down many, many times, like this needs to go into your head. I think it's 40 times over 2 weeks. Someone once told me that it takes to replace a negative affirmation with a positive one. So something like, money is on its way to me, or there are many people from where I come from that make 100K, or anything that's going to make you start believing it so that you will more likely put the work in. For me, I'm not great with affirmations. I feel like when I tell myself things like that, and I used to put them on post-it notes everywhere, like you make it my phone alarm so that I'd read it once an hour, all of these different things, I felt like I was conning myself. I felt like it was a lie. And so the way that worked for me was to prove to myself opposite. So if I said to myself, people from council estates don't make 100K, what I would then go and do is go and find some people that had, or rich people are bad people, I would go and find some rich people who are doing some amazing things for charity and who are really nice people. Like, I would have to prove to myself that those things were a lie, so that when that thought came into my head, I stopped listening to it. And then the third thing to do is just be really wealth conscious. I think when you come from a background where you didn't have any money, or maybe you were in debt, like I've been bankrupt before, like 20 years ago. And so that made me not want to do things like look at my bank statements and look at, especially when I was in debt, like look at how much money wasn't there. So I'd just hide from it. I'd just put my neck in the sand. That doesn't work. Like, what you focus on grows. Like, if you think about when you're on a diet, the way the diet works best is if you write down everything you're eating so that you really know what you're consuming. That's the same with money. So if you want more money, you have to focus on it, which means knowing what you need to make to pay off that debt, or knowing how much more you need to make this month to get to the goal, and looking at it on a daily basis. So getting really wealth conscious really helped. But all in all, just remember that you get to choose who you want to be. And even if generations of your family were in poverty, or your background meant that people in your family were bad with money in some way, perhaps they had that whole feast and famine thing where you made lots of money and then you lost lots of money. And that's probably having an effect on your money mindset and your ability to make money. Just remember that you can be the catalyst to change all of that, to change those patterns. We get to choose who we're going to be and how much money we're going to make. I will leave you with a line in a song by Frank Turner that I've always really liked that says, "It doesn't matter where you come from, it matters where you go. No one gets remembered for the things they didn't do." That to me sums up how your background does not need to determine your wealth or how successful you are now. I will see you soon. I hope that you took something great from this episode. Thank you for listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson. If you'd like to get hold of my guide to launching, go to lisajohnson.com/launch and let's get you making money online.